We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In the name of Jesus' grace and glory, amen. There is nothing like a good quote or phrase to make a subtle or perhaps not so subtle point. Let's look at two examples. First, there's no such thing as a free lunch. At least that is what my favorite political science professor drilled into our heads on numerous occasions. And over the years, I have seen that quote come to life in many different forms. The famous economist Milton Friedman subsequently used this phrase as the title of one of his books. The free lunch part of the quote dates back to the 19th century practice in American taverns of offering a free lunch in order to entice drinking customers. While the lunch was free, the drinks were not. The premise of the quote is that it is impossible to get something for nothing. Then there is a phrase which is one of the highest compliments we can pay another person. It is often used in recommendation letters, glowing statements of praise, and could even be used to describe our favorite priest in charge. She walks on water. The dictionary defines walks on water as someone who is able to perform godlike or superhuman feats seemingly perfect, or appears to be able to accomplish the impossible. When we say that someone walks on water, we don't mean it literally. We use it figuratively, which brings us to today's gospel lesson from John. Here we are confronted with two familiar miracle stories in which Jesus feeds the 5,000 and shortly thereafter walks on water. Or in other words, in which Jesus literally makes the impossible possible. Before exploring these two miracles, it's important to mention that today denotes a change in the source of our gospel readings. For the past 8 weeks, the lectionary has followed the narrative of Mark. However, for the next 5 weeks, before returning to Mark, our lectionary focuses entirely on the 6th chapter of John, which narrates Jesus' self-revelation to two groups, publicly to the crowd and privately to his disciples. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle story that occurs in all four Gospels. And Matthew and Mark even tell the story twice. The story of Jesus walking on water appears in Matthew, Mark, and today's Gospel from John. And in each case, it follows the story of the feeding miracle. This suggests that the two stories were linked in oral tradition as a pair of Galilean miracles. In both miracle stories, we unmistakably see the glory and grace of Jesus and the never-failing importance of Jesus in our lives. On the one hand, Jesus' grace and glory are revealed outside the normal human experience and expectations, in the miraculous feeding of over 5,000 people and in Jesus walking on the water. On the other hand, in these miracle stories where Jesus' grace is offered and his glory is revealed, he is meeting basic human needs and fears, the need for food and the need for safety and rescue from imminent danger. As the 5,000 sat on the hillside listening to Jesus, their physical needs took center stage over their spiritual needs. They were hungry, and Jesus fed them. He took 5 barley loaves and 2 fish and blessed them. There was overwhelming need and few resources. Yet miraculously, all were fed, and there was food left over. Jesus met their basic need for food, and perhaps the most amazing thing of all was that it truly was a free lunch. However, the crowd obviously missed that point, for they wanted to make him king. As my interpreter's Bible notes, Jesus' gift of food, the offer of his grace, provided the crowd with a glimpse of his identity. But they immediately tried to twist that identity to serve their own purposes. By trying to crown Jesus as their political king, the crowd took Jesus' grace and conformed it to their own existing human understanding of power and authority. They looked at his miraculous feeding of the 5,000 through the lens of human glory instead of seeing in Jesus God's glory. Jesus realized that the crowd was about to come and take him by force to make him their king. So he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. In so doing, he emphasized that his gift of grace in feeding the 5,000 was offered freely, without wanting anything in return, without claiming worldly power. In that moment, his glory was revealed, because true glory has nothing to do with worldly power. Or as Paul says in today's letter to the Ephesians, I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It is this grace and glory that is key to our lives today. Perhaps the reason these two miracle stories are told back to back is so we will not misunderstand the impact of Jesus' overwhelming grace and glory on our lives. With Jesus in our lives, we are never alone, and we are able to deal with life's obstacles, challenges, and difficulties. With Jesus by our side, we are always encouraged to go forward, one moment at a time, especially during tough and challenging times. For example, a business colleague and good friend of mine has been working tirelessly these past 2 years to make a unique business succeed. From the very beginning, his guiding passage has been from Proverbs. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. While the company has moved forward, it has been difficult, both financially and emotionally, and I'm sure there are times he has considered giving up. Then the other day, he received a note from his oldest daughter. She started by saying, I was praying for our family one at a time, and when I got to you, I asked the Lord to give me some encouragement for you. She then quoted from a number of Bible verses, including Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And from Philippians, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. She then told her dad, I just want you to know that I have faith in God, and I'm trying not to let it waver. And for some reason, I still have hope this will all work out. I learned something in the past year, and it was just brought to my mind. We say sometimes we need something to happen, money usually, or we need God to do a miracle. I believe that anything that happens is a God miracle. So really, we need God or our whole lives are for naught. The story continues from my friend. The last chapter has not been written, but after receiving the gift of his daughter's letter, my friend goes forth encouraged, renewed, and energized. That he goes with Jesus' love, grace, and glory. For as it is written in today's Psalm 145, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. In the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus' gift of grace is the vehicle for the revelation of his glory. In contrast, by walking on the water to his disciples, Jesus' glory is the vehicle for his gift of grace. Let's stop and consider this by putting ourselves in the boat with the disciples who have been rowing for 3 or 4 miles in the evening. John doesn't say, but I would imagine the first thing the disciples talked about upon getting in the boat was Jesus feeding the 5,000. And even though they had witnessed Jesus' miracles before, this one truly was amazing and further demonstrated the divine power of Jesus. Now look around. It is dark. The wind is blowing. The sea is very rough and the boat is thrashing up and down. We are all drenched and we can taste the salt water. Suddenly we look up and see Jesus walking on the seas and coming near the boat. As it says in John, our first instinct is to be terrified. This just doesn't compute. We've never seen anyone walk on water before, not even Jesus. However, Jesus uses this divine act, this moment of glory, to minister to us, his disciples, to give us his grace. He says to us, it is I. Do not be afraid. Jesus reveals himself to us to allay our fears, to ensure our safe passage, and to remind us that God has been, is, and will be our rescue. Jesus' glory is not revealed for power, but for grace-filled pastoral care. He is there for each and every one of us, every moment of every single day. As we truly look at these two big miracle stories back to back, we begin to understand the balance between Jesus' grace and glory. Jesus does not allow his gift of grace to be hijacked by the crowd's desire for a king, for human glory. He withdraws by himself. The very next time we see Jesus, he is walking on the water. Why? The grace of Jesus will not hold back his glory from those of us who are in need. Because this is his mission, to make God known to each and every one of us. Both grace and glory are essential to the revelation of God in Jesus. And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's Son, full of grace and truth. For Jesus Christ, who died for us on a cross and was resurrected so each of us will have eternal life, truly makes the impossible possible. Amen.